Olivier Amessin had it all. A brilliant career as a cardiologist, a glittering social life. But what began as a few drinks to loosen him up at parties spiraled into an addiction that nearly claimed his life. As a doctor, he tried everything, from rehab to AA, to find a cure. In the end, what he found surprised him. Amessin writes about his quest in the book The End of My Addiction. He told Anne Strainchamps about his urge to drink.
The problem with alcoholism, and I was already addicted to it, is that I was overwhelmed by craving. So I went to a Chinese restaurant, but instead of eating, I ordered double vodka tonics, and actually one, two, three, probably four, five, and I took a cab and ended up bleeding in that cab. And from that cab, I ended up going to the ER of the hospital I've been associated to for 21 years of my life. It's New York Presbyterian Hospital, Cornell University, where I was an attending physician and an associate professor of medicine.
When did you begin to realize that alcohol wasn't just a pleasure in your life, but was a real problem?
Alcohol, like you say, well, it was normal to have alcohol. It wasn't normal, actually, and I didn't like alcohol. In fact, I disliked alcohol. And when I arrived in the States from France, I was a non-drinker. I started drinking the American way with scotch, hard liquor, and not at all wine. In fact, I drank only when I was invited to parties, and just because I felt shy. It's a social shyness, and with a glass of scotch, which I hated to drink, I just felt comfortable and well, and that's why I drank. But sooner or later, I needed no longer one glass to get that effect, but two, and then three, and without noticing, because it's an insidious disease, I became addicted and needed much more, up to almost a bottle.
What did you do about it?
The first symptom of that is denial, but when I found out that I was an alcoholic, the first thing I did was, as a physician, I thought, well, I'm told it's a disease, it's recognized as a disease since the 1950s by the AMA, the World Health Organization, so I'm going to seek medical advice, which I did. I went to see a psychiatrist, I went to see a neurologist, I got the best medical care. I asked what to do. Some told me to go to AA, some told me they wouldn't go to AA. I ended up going to AA very faithfully. I took medications called anti-craving medication, but they didn't work. In the end, I since my alcoholism was getting worse and worse, I ended up being hospitalized. I ended up going to detox and to rehabs for month and month. I got out, but each time I got out of rehab, the craving came back and I relapsed. And I thought that that was my story, and I was wondering why I was relapsing. But in fact, 90% of patients who become abstinent do relapse. 90% of them. People do relapse because of craving, and there is no medication that works, and that's admitted by the addiction community. So unlike high blood pressure, which you treat, and therefore people do not die, with alcoholism, 100 people die a year.
You must have been at the end of your rope when you finally stumbled on this new drug, baclofen.
I read a New York Times article in which a patient who was a paraplegic was prescribed a muscle relaxant for his spasms. He noticed he was a coke addict, that his cocaine craving and also his alcohol craving were reduced by that medication. So I thought, if that reduces craving, maybe I could take that and it would reduce my craving too. I in fact did, after checking with neurologists who are the experts of the drug. They told me it's a very safe drug. We've been using it for 40 years. We use it in a harmless condition for comfort care, so don't worry, just use it. And I used it and it reduced my craving and made me feel good. My anxiety went away. I felt much better, but the overwhelming craving came, and then the relapse came again. And that's when I came across, I started looking at the internet frantically. I knew I had to save my life, at that point. And I realized, I saw one study done in 1997 in animals, in rats, that had been addicted to cocaine. And in those rats, when you prescribe baclofen at low dose, those rats were seeking cocaine as they normally did, and normally. While when you reach a certain threshold, they just were not interested in cocaine at all and went for food or water. And the same happened with rats addicted to alcohol. They had lost their motivation at a given dose, but it was dose dependent. And actually, researchers were looking at that and used baclofen, but they used too low doses. They didn't realize that what happens in animals can be transposed to humans. And that's what I did. I thought, if you reach the threshold at which they become indifferent to alcohol, maybe I'll be indifferent and the craving will go away. And that happened in February 14 when I did a protocol and increased progressively my dose. I reached a dose at which my craving completely went away, and I later published it a few months later, a complete indifference. It wasn't abstinence to alcohol. I could see alcohol and look at it as if it were an ashtray or a vase or a flower. I mean, it gave me no desire to drink. I could enter a bar, see people drink, and that had never been described. It was world premiere. Now we have approximately 100 patients worldwide who, and some of them were almost homeless, and within a few days of treatment, they just say, I'm not interested in alcohol, I feel good. The first thing is they start feeling good. They have a feeling of well-being, and they detach themselves from alcohol, and they say, I'm not interested at all. Some of them have a drink here and there. Some of them, like me, are abstinent because I don't like alcohol, and I think I've had enough alcohol.
So what do you think is going on? How does baclofen work?
I don't want to be too technical, but it works on the dopamine release in the brain, in the amygdala. I mean, that's very technical. In the part of the brain which releases dopamine in excess in people who have addictions. So it has a very specific mechanism of action. Unlike Valium, alcohol, and all other medications which work on one receptor in the brain, in the GABA system, which is the GABA-A, it works on a different receptor called GABA-B. It's the one and only medication that actually in animals completely stops craving, and in humans also completely stops craving and make people feel good. Also, there's no dependence. I mean, it's been used for 40 years, and that's not a drug. In other words, in 40 years, not one case of dependency to that drug, I mean, of addiction, has been described. It's not a replacement like methadone for heroin or like Nicorette or nicotine for cigarettes. I mean, it's a medication, and nobody gets dependent on that, of course.
You know, alcoholism is a very expensive disorder. Wouldn't it be in the government's best interest and society's best interest to fund research into such a promising potential treatment?
It's an excellent point. The cost of alcoholism alone, I'm not even mentioning other addiction, is $200 billion in this country. Huge. A study of baclofen randomized trial would be maybe $1 million or so. But the good news is several centers like University of Pennsylvania, I've spoke with Charles O'Brien and with Anna Rose Childress, who are the leading expert there and nationwide leading experts, are starting now to use high-dose baclofen for cocaine addiction. Others are using it for alcohol. So clinical trials will take place. The only thing is we need to make sure that funding happens. The problem is it's a generic drug, and so basically there's no drug company to fund it, and that's why actually nobody has funded it.
So most drug research is actually done by the drug companies. And since baclofen has been around so long, there's no financial incentive for the drug companies to do any research on it?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, there was an article in the New York Times which showed that even the FDA and the NIH do not look at conflict of interest between doctors working for drug company, how much money they make. So, I mean, there is. I'm not talking about most doctors, but some doctors are doing research and, I mean, basically are making a business of doing research of medication on medication that they know are not very useful. But, I mean, that's a moneymaker and it's a business. Whereas this one is extraordinarily, I mean, the potential is huge. But there is no financial interest to do that, and I mean no funding, basically. So the reason why I wanted to write this book is basically for the patient to go to the doctor and say, doctor, I want this medication, I'm dying, can I have it? And I discuss it with the doctor, and if the doctor thinks it is appropriate, the doctor will just prescribe it. And in addition, what I've asked for 4 years now in my papers is clinical trials. But they didn't happen, and they have to happen. I mean, I find it totally ethically unacceptable that those trials aren't conducted.
Dr. Emerson, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Olivier Emerson is a physician who devotes his time to the treatment of addiction. His book, The End of My Addiction, is now out in paperback under the title Heal Thyself. Anne Strangeham spoke with him.